T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. Lots to get to here in the noon hour. We'll get to the lunchtime Falcons report coming up at 12:20 and back into some of the further reactions from the game against the Seahawks on Sunday and start to turn the page a little bit to the Cowboys as well. I know Dan Quinn is going to be on with Duke Sabel this afternoon at about 3:10. He did do his coach's show yesterday and met with the media. We'll let you hear some of that audio coming up in just a minute. We'll also get to some damn good questions with Brian. Apparently, we got some new nicknames, according to Eddie on Twitter. Jalapeno Noir Wendy, Poke Chop Randy. See, said it right. And Happy Meal Apple Slice Andy. That's a long nickname, man. Isn't the nickname supposed to be shorter?
But it's funny because I got like some of my followers, and they're absolutely correct. And I had to ask Wendy this in the break. My man Benson Johnson. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is a black bean burger. Me and you both, because when you say it, I just let it go off. But then I was asking Wendy, I said, what the hell is a black bean burger? Is it the black beans when you have like black beans and rice?
Yeah.
It's just in a patty form.
Yeah, they mash them up. They put other stuff in there. There's oftentimes tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
Garlic. Sometimes you put a little quinoa in there to give it some shape.
What is quinoa?
It's a grain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a grain that you eat. You kind of mash it together. They'll cook it on the grill, and then it replaces your patty. I think the best black bean burger I've had, because I know you're wondering, like, where can I get one of these delicious treats? That's what I want to have for lunch today. The Nook over there by Piedmont Park, probably the best
like
black bean burger I've had in it.
I like the
Nook. Very good. It's good stuff.
I like the Nook. Oh, yeah. Ain't no way in the hell I might ever eat a black bean burger. Brian over here texting, it's really good. No, the hell, it don't sound good. Do you put cheese on a black bean burger?
Anything you want. You could do a regular hamburger toppings, just it's instead of a hamburger patty, it's a black bean. So you put cheese, lettuce, tomato, whatever. Guacamole is really good on it. Anything you like on your burger usually is going to be good on a black bean burger. Now, I have seen somebody order a black bean bacon burger, which to me seems to defeat the purpose. But bacon's good too. So if you want to put bacon on it, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I mean, hell, bacon makes everything good, but I still don't think bacon gonna make a black bean burger good. But hey, brother, you know, we have got to know each other a lot. I'm not even gonna say you eat weird stuff. You just eat what you like, which is perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's cool. You know, like, I don't think that you eat a poke chop sandwich with me, just like I would eat a black bean burger with you. So we could have find a restaurant that sells black bean burgers and poke chop sandwiches on white bread with hot sauce and mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. Then we'd be in there. Because I told you, the best poke chop sandwich, you know, going around probably at the Shake is over there at the Blue Flame. Now, the only thing about it is that I think that they might toss us up by the club if you go over there and say, what do you mean you don't have no black bean burger? You know?
See, I wouldn't say that. See, here's the thing. Here's the one thing about me, and I think you know this about me too, as ridiculous, I think, at times as my diet can be and the stuff that I eat. I've got some self-awareness. I'm not going into the Blue Flame Lounge and ordering a black bean burger. If I go in the Blue Flame Lounge, which I would love to do someday with you, I'll get some wings, you know, or whatever's on the damn menu. I'm not going to, excuse me, do you guys have a healthier option? You know what I mean? I know where I'm at. I know where I am when I'm at certain
places.
Like,
we have like, go to the Shake, talk about something. Y'all got a vegan menu.
You guys
bro, this
menu?
Ain't the cheetah. All right?
That'd be so great. How you get kicked out of there so fast. You know, one of my buddies came and stayed
cheetah?
With me. My buddies came and stayed with me for the college football playoff back in 2016 when Alabama played UW. And they went to the Blue Flame Lounge. And my buddy Matt actually did get kicked out. I've got a friend that got kicked out of the Blue Flame Lounge. That wasn't because he ordered a black bean burger. It was because he couldn't stand up anymore. But, yeah, I know somebody who got kicked out of the Blue Flame Lounge. So there you go. I'd get kicked out for a different reason.
He must have been touching the girls. Don't touch the girls now.
No, I think he was just unconscious. Oh. And I think they were like, you got to get your friend out of here. Like, this is you can't be in here looking like that.
Yeah, don't touch the girls, bro. You get they have a French fry stuck to the top of your head because they're going to dump you on it.
So, everyone on Twitter confirming what Brian Gebhardt said. When you mix all the sodas together, it's called a suicide. Everybody hit me up on Twitter and said that. So,
okay, there you go. I never ever knew that there would be a name. I never knew a name, so that's what I'm saying. I just remember that. And go watch your business.
It was good until you went too far. Like, it was good if it was Coke, Sprite, Dr. Pepper, root beer. Like, those kind of flavors that work well together. But then if you got to and tried to put, like, an orange slice in there, that wasn't good.
Yeah,
that
messed it up. Yeah.
That messed it up. Put the fruit punch in there. Now, you could do Sprite and fruit punch, but all those things, you have to be straight sodas. You try to get too creative and put the juices in there, that's not a good idea. All right, we'll get to the Lunchtime Falcons report coming up in 20 minutes. Randy's going to have a poke chop sandwich for lunch. I'm going to have a black bean burger. Some damn good questions with Brian at 12:40, but we kick off the noon hour.
Or Surge, Surge. Remember that Surge?
Surge will ruin anything. So Surge awful. By itself is disgusting.
It's awful.
Yeah. Let's get to the big clip of the day brought to you by Johnson and Allday Injury Attorneys. Visit JohnsonAllDay.com.
What we know heading in that we'll need to, I think we just made it too easy in terms of disguise. That would be really more along the lines that I would think of, led of having multiple looks and coverage for a quarterback who's as accurate as Russ is. So I'd say that's for sure one that we'd like to have over and do different, more, not just tighter, but more adjustments, more variation, I would say.
Can you explain that further, Randy, for people like me? Like, when Dan Quinn talks about the secondary and the coverage needing better disguise, like, I mean, is that what you saw on Sunday? Like, was that the issue with why they couldn't cover the Seahawks?
I saw him getting beat one-on-one. But the coverage, I mean, it's only so many disguises that you can do for a guy like Russ Wilson that's seen a lot. You know, you try to disguise against younger guys. Because one thing I've always been taught ever since I was, in college, was, it's when you start looking at coverage and stuff, it's always this. Corners lie, safeties don't. All right, unless you have a Hall of Fame safety that can get can disguise and get back to where he's supposed to be. For the most part, corners lie, safeties don't. Because if a corner's coming, you got to find a way to get him a safety over there or something to help. So the safeties usually tell where the coverage is or what the coverage is. So that's why I said I learned that a long time ago. But the thing with it is, like, you want to disguise it. He's basically saying mix it up between man and zone or whatever. And they were basically just showing it right then and there. That's all fine and dandy. But if you can't cover man-to-man in this league, you can't play in this league, all right? And you got to worry more about that, the technique of playing man-to-man, which A.J. Terrell, even Dan said it, he's absolutely correct. He's going to get got. He might get got again, because I'm telling you right now, if you don't think Dallas is going to run a sluggo against A.J. Terrell this weekend, you're crazy. They're going to run it this weekend, all right? If you don't think that Amari Cooper and Gallup and those guys are going to run fly routes against Isaiah Oliver, you're crazy. They're going to do that because he put it on tape. And until you show people, it's one game, Bunk, but until you show these people that you can cover that, they're going to keep doing it. They're going to do that. They are going to run sluggos against A.J. Terrell Sunday.
And they should. I mean, they should 100%. And every team should. They should do whatever they've been shown on tape to not be able to defend. And unfortunately, I know it's one game this year, and A.J. Terrell's only played in one game, but Isaiah Oliver on tape has been shown to be able to defend what? I mean, he's a physical back, or a physical defensive back, can be at times. Wasn't physical enough with DK Metcalf on that play where he got beat for the touchdown. DK Metcalf's physical too and fast, and I understand all that. But, like, for me, like, don't get beat is the bottom line. But I also understand you're going to get beat sometimes, and I think there's different ways to get beat. Like, if A.J. Terrell, a rookie defensive back, is getting beat by being overly aggressive, that's different to me than getting beat by simply not jamming the guy and not being physical. Like, that's – and you're a third-year player. It's a lot more frustrating to see Isaiah Oliver get beat the way that he did than to see A.J. Terrell getting beat being overly aggressive and maybe gambling, maybe guessing, whatever. Like, either way, getting beat sucks. And the Falcons secondary got beat a lot on Sunday. And that's how a guy goes 31 of 35 and throws four touchdowns on you. But again, that's not that new to me. Like, you go back and look at what the first half of the season looked like for the Falcons last year. I know it was Russell Wilson most recently, but it was a lot of guys not as good as Russell Wilson last year looking real good in the first half. The other thing is, and again, maybe this is not a direct correlation. Maybe this is making a mountain out of a molehill, whatever. Last year, the Falcons gave up 27 to the Seahawks and then changed their whole defensive strategy and who's playing call, making calls and all that stuff. They gave up 38 Sunday. That's 11 more. Like, that's a step in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's not good and everything. And you remember we were not necessarily making fun. We were talking about, well, oh, they were 6-2 last year. That was the record, whatever. And I kept trying to tell you that momentum does not mean anything going into next year. Either you're gonna be good or you're not. No, they got the momentum. Oh no, just listen sometimes. All right, they gotta play better. That's why I tell them, just listen sometimes. The people that. Okay, just listen, all right? And obviously, the momentum didn't carry over because you saw what happened. They looked like they did last year, okay? I mean, this team and this defense, they've got to shore up because the thing about it's a copycat league, and I go back to what I just said just a minute ago. If you don't think that a lot of the stuff that Seattle just did, that the Cowboys are going to do, yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they're going to do a lot of it. They're going to do a lot of it because you did not show – that you can stop it. So until you stop it, they're going to do it.
Yeah. And you got another chance to do it this Sunday. I mean, was it just Russell Wilson and that passing attack being really good? Or was it the Falcons secondary not being up to snuff? We'll find out because we know Dallas wants to run the ball too. And if they come out and throw the ball 70% of the time like the Seahawks did, maybe it's an us problem and not a them problem. We'll get more into that coming up in about 10 minutes. Some of the other things that have to change from week one to week two. And I know that, again, it's one game. Some of it is going to be fixed. Some of it is fixable. But again, fixable was a huge word in the first half of the season last year, and things continued to show up. Some of those things continue to show up on Sunday. We'll get to the Lunchtime Falcons report in 10 minutes. Let's see what Brian Snitker had to say last night.
We talked earlier that they're going to, get the majority of the starts, which is a good thing. And hopefully that's good enough, with the numbers that we have in the bullpen, that if we got to throw a bullpen game, we'll be able to do that.
And what he's saying there is hopefully you'll have to have less bullpen games starting tomorrow. I know Huascar Ynoa goes tonight. That counts as a bullpen game. Cole Hamels makes his season debut tomorrow. And then Ian Anderson pitches, Kyle Wright pitches, and Max Fried comes back. And well, I don't know what it's going to look like. At the very least, and again, it's a very low bar right now as far as starting pitching goes for the Braves. At least those are four starting pitchers. You got four starting pitchers starting games, four games in a row.
Make you feel good now?
No, but is, well, okay, then. Better? Does it make me feel better?
No.
I don't know.
No.
No, not really.
No. Because the thing with it, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we're happy that Cole Hamels, I think some of us are happy that Cole Hamels is coming back.
I think you and I are. Because,
because maybe he gives you something else. The guy has been around a long time. He hasn't pitched this year, been banged up and everything. But maybe he gives you an option of somebody that can continue to keep the rotation afloat until Max Fried gets back. I don't know. But whoever pitches, a Noho, whatever the hell his name is. I mean, this don't got me excited about nothing tonight. All right? I'm not at a point where, all right, I feel like, whew, everything is all solved and dandy and good. Because
certainly not.
Anoko is going tonight. Man, nobody don't care about that.
Yeah. No. Well, the only thing that makes me excited is we get to see the Braves hit again. And they only scored one run last night, so to me that means they're probably going to score 12 tonight. Because that's normally how the Braves do it. If they got a bad night, last time they got shut out. Remember, they came out the other game afterwards and scored 29 runs. And I'm not saying they're going to do that again, but you get one run last night, those bats are going to be hot tonight, hopefully. The Braves also made a move today. Jaceel De La Cruz has been added to the active roster. He's a right-handed pitcher. Tuki Toussaint has been optioned back down to the alternate training site on the Wankster wagon. And I'll be honest with you, Randy, that's the last time I need to see Tuki Toussaint until 2021.
Yep.
And I don't know if I need to see him that much in 2020. I'm not giving up on Tuki, but why? Damn. I don't know. He's only 24 and I like him.
I like Tookie too, man. Tookie, man, I Tookie, nice young man. Go have a beer with him. But I don't need to see no more. When did we talk about, Andy, about these damn wanksters? When is enough enough? When is enough enough? That's my only thing. I couldn't do what they do. You're absolutely correct. I'd probably be on the damn wankster wagon too. No, I wouldn't be no damn wankster.
You wouldn't. You're not. Come on. Don't do that to yourself. No.
But I'm just saying, dog, when is it enough? Just like that dude. When the hell do we have to see enough of this cat to know he is who he is? Like, Andy, I don't get on roller coasters no more because I can't damn fit in them properly. So I'll sit there and watch him pitch, and that's the biggest thing I got to Splash Mountain because of his. So, I mean, I guess, man.
Wait, when's the last time you tried to get on a roller coaster?
Man, we went to, where were we at? We were at Disneyland?
Legs are too long?
Huh? Yeah, my legs are too long. Yeah, my legs are too long. I don't like that bumping on my knees and stuff, man.
Yeah. I just don't like roller coasters. I wish I had that excuse. I would say, yeah, I'm too tall too, but no one's going to believe that. So the closest thing you have to a roller coaster is Luke Jackson pitching. Is that what you're saying?
That's it.
Well, we don't need that anymore either. I'm good on that too.
And him pitching is all downhill. Yeah. Just this.
No buildup. It's just straight down on the roller coaster. We'll come back. We'll get to the Lunchtime Falcons report. What else do they need to fix this weekend? And now that we're a couple days away from it, what else do they need to get taken care of coming out of the Seattle game headed into Dallas? Lunchtime Falcons report coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed. And when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
People in a hit.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. 20 minutes away from some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt. We'll get back into what's trending top of the 1 o'clock hour. A little bit of stuff happening throughout the show. Yeah. Some breaking news. Baseball's agreed to the bubble for the playoffs, so that's good.
California and Texas.
Yeah.
Those are going to be played. They're going to let the families come too, so which is good.
Yeah, so you have a little bit more of a crowd at those games, not all cutouts. So that's good. And
Did you see the video of Freddie coming back to see Lil Man's first T-ball game?
I did.
Cool is that?
Yeah, Freddie Freeman is the best. I mean, he's just the best. And his, you know, the videos that his wife posts of him and his son and how excited his son gets when he comes home from road trips. Right. And then he was there for the T-ball practice. It was his first T-ball practice. I did see somebody had a good comment on Twitter, though. Like, you know, you signed up to volunteer to coach that T-ball team, right? And you're doing your best and you're out there. And then Freddie Freeman shows up, but he's just sitting in the bleachers. It's like, damn, all right. Hopefully I'm giving these kids good instruction. Otherwise, there's an all-star first baseman out there looking at me giving bad advice. Like, that's got to be, I don't know, that's probably intimidating if you're a coach of one of your kids and you show up. It's like, oh, damn it. There's a really good NFL football player there. Hopefully I'm saying the right thing.
That's why I don't want to coach his teams. That's why I don't like to speak to their teams because I don't want to feel, you know, I just want to be a dad. And that's, you need to go. No, I just want to be a dad. Yeah, I want to be a dad. I want to be the dad that's on the brink of getting kicked out of a damn game. Which I'll never be like that. But I don't want to be like, why my son ain't playing? Hell, lives with me. He lives with me. I know why he ain't playing. His ass is lazy. not saying that my children are lazy, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my thing. I just want to be a dad.
That wasn't a specific example. That was just a possibility of why a son wouldn't be playing, right? Not obviously your son. Right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, I'm just reading. Everything just came down. Like all these new news. You got LSU with a hunt. They all these positive tests. You see what happened over there? Is it Texas Tech, Oklahoma State? That 75 kids test positive. And I know the one thing that's getting like all the videos of college kids at a party and all that. Okay, you can see one of those out every damn Saturday.
Yep. Or that's Friday. Or Thursday.
Every Saturday. Yes, they're gonna be out partying. Without mask and everything like that. They don't give a damn, obviously.
Yep,
now, obviously. You let a pan go over and one of mine in that crowd. Mm-hmm. You let one of mine be in that crowd, though.
Yeah, well, different conversation, obviously.
Oh, yeah, different conversation, yeah.
Now, that is what you're talking about from LSU. Ed Orgeron said, most of the LSU players have caught COVID, and he hopes they won't get it again. Now, people are going to jump all over that, and they're going to get really mad at him. But I just feel like there's a lot of young people that have gotten it. The good news is it seems as though the recovery rate is really high. Now, we don't know what the long-term effects are. I'm not going to sit here and try to be a doctor. But the people that are going to yell at me about that aren't doctors either. We don't know.
Nope.
I don't know. Not. You don't know. None of us know. We'll find out in the years to come.
And the thing with it, Bunk, is that I saw something else that I guess the where did I write it down? The Nebraska AD or president or whatever like had a hot mic and said the Big Ten is having to vote tonight or whatever, so we can have Big Ten football coming back because obviously their data has changed and they're no longer worried about the heart condition part of everything. So
I guess they got new information and now
yeah I guess
it would be nice if they would share the information with the public because if it is that damning. It'd be nice if all of us knew about it, but they're not going to do that. They're just going to revote and then they're going to play. And I don't know. We'll see what happens from there. We'll get back into all that stuff, all the big stories in about half an hour and what's trending. Again, some damn good questions with Brian in 15 minutes, but it's time now for the Lunchtime Falcons Report.
No, not the way we want to start the season with the loss, but you know, the energy was there, just execution and communication and stuff like that. So I'm definitely going to bring the same type of energy to the game. It's going to be executing better for the next one.
It's time for the Lunchtime Falcon Report with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So that's the voice of Foye Aluakon yesterday talking about some of what went wrong in the game against the Seahawks. He's right. Execution. Absolutely. On specific plays, I mean, across the board, we can talk about things that did not go the Falcons' way, even if the right play was called. The players have to do the play that's called. Otherwise, it's not going to work out. But the communication thing is the one that kind of jumps out to me as, okay. I mean, a lot of these guys have played together before, right? It's the same calls, I would think. I mean, same language from the defensive coordinators. That were calling plays in this, at least in the second half of the season last year, and there's no crowd noise. So why is communication a problem in the first week of this season? Like, why is that something the Falcons are struggling with?
Okay, I'll tell you this, and it took me. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier when we were talking about the percentage of Seattle throw to pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, run to pass ratio. The Falcons probably had everything ready to stop the run, and were not expecting them to throw the ball the way they did. And weren't able to adjust, like on the side when Shaq was telling us about Jamal Adams, they were able to adjust too late. Maybe the Falcons did that and adjusted too late to it. That could be a big possibility about it. The communication is that we're going to stop this run, but and now look at it. They throwing a damn ball, so that could be something of the communication part. He should be talking about. I hope because you're right. Wasn't nobody in there, so what the hell were you not communicating about?
Right, I know that. It's a confusing statement to me. And maybe it's exactly what happened. Maybe it's something you say after a loss. Because sometimes I don't know the difference. Because, I mean, Dan Quinn kind of goes back to a lot of the same stuff after the Falcons lose. So it's, okay, is that true or is that a boilerplate? Is that what went wrong or is this just the excuse that we give when things don't go the way that we want them to? And I don't know. What I do know is a lot of the struggles that the Falcons had, especially stopping the pass on Sunday against the Seahawks, looked a lot like the struggles that they had last year in the first half of the season. Hopefully they get it cleaned up and get it fixed. You know, if their whole game plan was to try to stop the run, I mean, congratulations, they did. They did a good job stopping the run. Chris Carson didn't do anything in the run game. Carlos Hyde didn't really do anything in the run game. Russell Wilson scrambled a couple times, but it wasn't like he was killing you on the ground. But who cares if they throw for 350 yards on you and four touchdowns? I mean, hanging your hat on stopping the run. Like, run-pass balance is something that I understand the benefit of it. I do. I get it. You got to keep the defense honest. You want to keep them on their heels. But also, I don't care if you pass the ball every down, if you're getting a first down every time. Like, whatever the defense is giving you, take. And that's what the Seahawks did to the Falcons on Sunday. They did a pretty good job against the run, sure. And they even got to Russell Wilson a couple times in the first half. But they didn't do anything against the pass at all. I don't remember a single time outside of that pass interference call early in the game where there was a Falcons defensive back anywhere near a receiver when he was going up to catch the football. I mean,
well, you saw that earlier, AJ Terrell on that third down when he pressed on DK Metcalf.
Okay, that was there was that one drop. Okay, yeah, so there's two. Inside.
Yeah, so I mean, it just seems to me like Seattle, they got whatever they wanted when they wanted it. And that's something that has to change, and hopefully it does change. I mean, this is going to be, you know, Would you say that overall this Dallas wide receiver corps might be better than Seattle's?
Yeah, I could go with that. I think Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper are both really good, and I don't know what CeeDee Lamb's going to be, but you know, by all accounts, he's going to be really good.
Yeah, and so you're going to have another challenge because Dallas is that first of all they're coming off a loss, home opener, all those things, and blah 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 blah. But they want some get back. They want some get back because you know they felt like they should have won that LA game. You know, I thought it was a push off when you extend the arm. They usually do call it, but I mean they didn't call it. Whatever, whatever. I look at this game as it's an attitude game because their offensive line ain't the same Dallas offensive line that we used to see. They should get now. Ain't nobody Aaron Donald, but you saw what he was able to do that defensive line. I expect Grady to get so much pressure over that bum left guard. Williams, the boy from Texas, he looked like a bum when they drafted him. He was all he looked like a bum. Like, pretty hair O-lineman, man. They just, you know,
Pretty hair O-lineman are a problem? Yeah.
Pretty hair O-lineman, dog.
Yeah, I want ugly O-lineman.
Huh?
I want ugly offensive lineman.
I told you I like pickup truck driving linemen, man.
Yeah, Caleb McGarry fits what we're looking for.
You know what I'm saying? I like, you know, I don't need all that you know. I like rut. Don't be wearing no damn suit on the plane, man. Get your damn polo on. Your neck too big.
Yeah, exactly. Put some jeans on and have a skull ring in the back pocket. Be a dirtbag.
Clipping your fingernails for the game. No, man, bite them off.
Bite your fingernails. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I want fingernail biting offensive linemen. I agree with that 100%. Now, look, we'll find out if the Falcons' offensive line is as improved as we hope that it is coming up this weekend because the Cowboys have a really good pass rush. Here's the thing that I kind of go back to, and we talked a bit about this yesterday, about not capitalizing in the big moment. I think another thing the Falcons have to do is when they do something positive, don't immediately shoot yourself in the foot because they did some good things on Sunday. They absolutely did. Like, you sack Russell Wilson on third down. You feel pretty good about that. Or on second down, and you put them in the third and long. Don't make a pass interference and give them a 40-yard pickup by making a mental mistake like that. If you get the Seahawks or whoever you're playing against in a second and 30, don't allow that to turn into a scoring drive. You know what I mean? Like, if you sack the quarterback twice on a drive, they shouldn't score a touchdown on that drive.
So they're with you.
If you get second and 30, it shouldn't result in 3 points. And here's the other thing. If you do something chunk play-wise offensively, that big pass to Julio that should have been a touchdown, a 45-yard pass, don't allow a drive that should have been a touchdown but ends up in a big explosive play like that to result in 0 points. Like, that, it's not only that the big plays they make don't result in touchdowns or big plays, they'll follow it up by blowing it. You can't do that.
That's the thing. You can't keep on only if. You can't go back into – we don't want to hear Dan Quinn on Monday. Well, if we would – if. Man, just make the plays. Let's think about it. Just make the plays.
Make Dallas, a play and then follow it up with another play. Instead of making a play and follow it up with a mistake. That's what killed him. We'll come back. We'll get to some damn good questions with Brian. We'll get back into Falcons audio and Dan Quinn top of the 1 o'clock hour as well. A lot going on here on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hello, Alpharetta. Play some golf.
Hello, golfers.
Hey, man. Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. And each weekday at 6:40, we give you listeners a chance to sound off on a fun topic. We call it the Game Winner. Just don't screw it up and don't talk dirty. That's weekdays 20 to 7 right here on Dukes and Bell.
20 minutes away from what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20 here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. What?
Man, laughing at Wendy crazy self. Because you know my Heat play today, and they were talking about Duncan Robinson, and she was like, Duncan Robinson, you know you got to be cool to have a name like Duncan. You damn sure do.
Yeah.
Duncan. Do we know for a fact that his parents, if they named him after those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If they didn't, what a coincidence, right? I mean, if only he could have ended up playing for the Spurs. Yeah. I know he's a great shooter for the Heat. But yeah, what a weird coincidence. He's probably right around that age, right? Was he 21
or something?
Yeah,
Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how Travis Scott picked the rap name Travis Scott when his name is Jacques Weber or something like that. I don't know. How
Jacques
did he pick
Weber
a name?
The second.
Yeah,
the
Jacques second. Weber the second. How did he go with Travis Scott? That's just like, anybody's name.
Hell, DMX named Earl.
I know, but DMX is a cool name. That's great. Three letters.
What's wrong with Travis Scott?
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, I just am interested in how he came up with it. That's just a normal guy's name. I went to third grade with somebody named Travis Scott. You know? He picked his nose.
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
He had
know.
A Barney backpack.
You know the thing? I don't know. I'm trying to think. I know Candace because Candace broke my damn heart. I know Roy because Roy is my best friend on the Army base. But I'm trying to remember like all of you know all of the kids that you went to grade school with.
I have a very strange memory for
yeah,
stuff like cause
that. Yeah, because I remember Roy was my best friend when Mama was stationed at Fort Gordon. Mm-hmm. Candace, that heifer, broke my heart in the fourth grade when she started dating some German dude.
Yeah.
In the fourth grade. Yeah, she started dating a German dude.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and we still hate Candace to this day. I'm with you.
Oh, okay. Candace and Tamara, they're dead to me.
Me too. I got
yeah,
you back
dead
on
to
that.
Me. Yeah, they dead to me.
My brother showed up the other day, which was great. He my brother's all in town to meet the baby, obviously. And my brother brought some old yearbooks. He brought an elementary school yearbook. I didn't even know that I had that, but I went back and looked at it. Right in fourth grade class, right there, Dustin Milne. Just smiling and cheesing, knowing full well that he kicked me right in the junk in kindergarten and still hasn't paid for it.
Hey, dog. Hey, man. We stopped saying it because you remember I told you you had to go find that cat before the baby was born.
He's off Facebook. I don't know where he is. I'm going to track him down. Hopefully, we found Daryl Look. We found out the guy that beat me in the juggling contest is a DJ now.
What was his name again?
Daryl Look is a professional DJ. He's a great
juggler. Other guy.
Dustin Milne, kindergarten
maybe Dustin
junk
fell off. Maybe Dustin fell off a salmon boat or something.
He might have. Who knows? I have no idea what he's up to. I'm going to track him down, though. I'm going to sneak up on him, kick him right in his junk. Let's get to some damn good questions with Brian.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now.
There we go. So, Duncan Robinson, you guys were just talking about him a few minutes ago. He is not named after Tim Duncan or David Robinson. However, he was a fan of both of them as a kid, being a basketball player, and he has a poster in his room growing up of the two of them right next to each other.
Huh. Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
So they named Duncan on purpose.
So the only cool way that he could have been named Duncan. Yeah, they just went with Duncan, which whatever. There's nothing wrong with the name.
Hey, whatever you want to name it. Hey, I like Dunkin' Donuts and
Dunkin' Donuts. Duncan McMichael. That sounds like a good name. You guys
oh hell no.
Having another
no,
one?
Don't.
Why not?
No, they don't.
D Mac. Well,
no.
The irony with Duncan Robinson is he's a shooter, and they got a big game tonight, Heat Celtics, and that game's at 6:30. So don't let it sneak up on you. But I want to ask you about the other game. We talked. You guys mentioned this yesterday. Clippers Nuggets, that game snuck in on Sunday afternoon. I don't think a lot of people saw it because everyone was tuned in to the NFL. But we got Game 7 tonight. Nuggets are trying to come back twice from 3-1 deficits in back-to-back series. Who you got in this game between the Clippers and the Nuggets?
I'm going Clippers. I'm going Clippers. I think Kawhi will get it done tonight, man. They tripping. That's what they're doing. They straight tripping, all right? They got too much talent on that squad. But, I mean, Denver, they're so good. A joke was it joke? Yeah, he's
Jokic. Yeah,
he's unbelievable. But I think Kawhi and them get it done tonight. I think Lemon Pepper Lou, you know, who has not played well since he was eating them lemon peppers. I think he's gonna have a big game tonight. But I like the Clippers to win. I give you 10. Clippers by 10.
Okay, yeah, I think the Clippers are gonna win too. I would have been shocked if you took Jamal Murray to win a game 7 to go to the conference finals. Jamal Murray, you know. Breaking one of your rules that you have for athletes that you root for, being a Canadian, you know.
Man, I ain't got no problem against Canadian bros. I said I don't trust them.
Yeah, you don't trust exactly, which is why you don't pick them in game 7. Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Clippers win too. But one thing that I think we're seeing like pretty clearly, we already knew this, but if the NBA needed a reminder, going up against the NFL is not a great idea. And them,
they got no choice.
Right now they don't. I know they don't have a choice right now, and they did what they needed to do. I'm not blaming them for that. But the idea that they had of starting the season on Christmas and then having the NBA Finals in August, I think it's a pretty good idea. You stretch your season out a little bit more. Remember, that's what Steve Koonin had talked about with Dukes and Bell months back.
Who would have knew? My main man, Steve Koonin, who was up there at the Geek Squad convention, will come up with this right there. It looking better and better and better.
Yeah, It is looking better. And not that you needed any reminder that going up against the NFL is a bad idea, but having that playoff game on Sunday, I mean, nobody watched it. And no one's talking about them either. The NBA was a huge story 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. And now there's all these NFL stories and all these college football stories. And we know football's king in this country. And again, I'm going to watch the playoff game 7 tonight. I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it. But if they needed a reminder of why not to have big games in their season go up against football, here you go.
Yeah, and it was hard for them to move that game from Sunday. The schedule moving forward is opposite of the NFL. So they got both games tonight. They avoided Monday Night Football last night. They'll play the Western Conference game, one on Friday, again, avoiding big football games. So they're doing the right thing from here on out, but Sunday's game just kind of snuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at some of the old quarterbacks and their performances over the weekend, we saw Brady, Breeze, Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers all struggle. Is this the last year for all those guys, or at least 3 out of the 4?
Yeah, I do, because here's the thing, what I know about ain't none of them going to be backups. Phillip Rivers will retire before he'll be a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady will retire before he's a backup. We know Drew Brees. Drew Brees thought about leaving this year, so this might be Drew's last year. Big Ben, I think Big Ben will continue to play as long as he's healthy. But those other three guys, yeah, if it don't work out, they're gone.
Old quarterbacks looked old on Sunday.
They did.
Tom Brady looked old. Drew Brees looked old. Phillip Rivers looked old. I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't. Aaron Rodgers, and he's younger than those guys. He looked fantastic. But I'm with you, Brian. I think a lot of this generation of quarterbacks, and we've seen some of them already, you know, out of the league with the Mannings and other guys. But yeah, I do. I think that a lot of these guys probably it this season. And the good news is the next crop of quarterbacks, the young crop of quarterbacks right now, are really good and really exciting and very different. Such a different style of football that they play. We talked about it yesterday. 5 quarterbacks led their teams in rushing on Sunday, and all 5 of those quarterbacks won. That's not something you probably would have seen 10, 15 years ago. Certainly not with these guys, who never would have led their teams in rushing anyway. So, I do. I think this is probably the last year for a lot of those guys.
I do too, man. But back to this game tonight, man. If the Clippers lose, man.
Yeah, that's bad. Man. That's a big deal.
And a young man that I thought, you know, when I think I want the Hawks to get Michael Porter Jr. I was like, I like, but maybe he had that back surgery or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing lights out, man. He has been playing. Did you see when? I know you saw when he disrespected Montrezl Harrell.
He did. He dunked all over Montrezl Harrell.
He looked like he used like lady conditioner on his face though.
Yeah. Is that a compliment or a criticism?
I don't know, Andy.
Or just an observation.
Just observation. Like he uses lady product on his face.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Oil of Olay.
He's got oil of Olay on his face. All right. Cool. We'll see if old lady conditioner Porter Jr. can get it done tonight, or if Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers can get it done. I like that. That's good to notice.
Scented lotion.
Yeah, he does look like a scented lotion guy. We'll come back and get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks, Brian. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us in half an hour from now. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.